Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. There's no business like your business. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank, banking for good. Member FDIC.
Just let it wash over you. Mm. Feel it. Feel the aura.
Bathe
in it.
Yeah. I'm telling you what, I had a great morning so far. Came in to work, listened to a little Andy Gibb. And then this? It's going to be a good friend. It's going to be a real good one. I mean, it doesn't get better than this.
People have been accusing you all week of like becoming like a grumpy old man. And well,
I just might lend to it.
Andy Gibb, huh?
Okay.
Here we go. Turn that up.
So here we go.
I'm not grumpy. I'm a happy dude.
Some people have accused you this week in, you know, with your constant, I don't know, frustration, dismay, dismissal, contempt for the idea that NFL offenses are somehow evolving and it requires a young, bright, offensive whiz-bang kid to come in and run it. You're just like,
yeah, because that's
Kubiak offense.
Because that
19 handoff.
Because it's
zone running scheme.
Because it's stupid. You have to admit that I am right. It's dumb to think that only some young kid that touched Sean McVay is going to come fix your offense. If that is not. Like, that's the oversimplification of what's going on in the National Football League. And that's what, it doesn't bother me to get a different point of view. It doesn't bother me to hire a guy that's been in several different systems. I know that there has to be some movement toward some of the concepts that are going on right now. But to sit there and think that you have to have touched Sean McVay, you've got to be, you know, a college coach that couldn't win. The only college coach that couldn't win at Texas Tech is going to come save the Arizona Cardinals is stupid to me. Like that's what bothers me. It's the way it's portrayed in the media because you've got a bunch of lemmings to the sea that if John Elway says, we got to go this way, you're like, oh, boom. Like it's gospel. Are you talking about
bloggers and fanboys?
Yes.
Sometimes one and the same.
Exactly. And those are the things. So I'm just here to spit some truth at you. That's all.
Okay. All right. We are off and rolling on Is It Just Me Friday, where we give you a chance to get hot sports opinions off your chest, stuff that's built up over the course of the week.
I got to interrupt you.
Listen to, yeah.
You know who I flew with yesterday?
Who'd you fly back with? From L.A.?
L.A. I'm standing there. I'm talking to my wife on the phone, just standing at the gate. Cart pulls up with three gentlemen on it. The guy gets out of the cart. He's standing, you know, face to face, which, you know, that was my belly to his face because he's a wee little man. Frankie Valli.
No way.
I was like, oh my gosh, that's Frankie Valli. Let the summer bring in sickness, bring
special time for me. Did you talk to him?
No.
Were you too intimidated?
No. I was talking. Like a little general. It was like Napoleon. No. I was talking to my wife, and then he got in the line, and he was with his guys. His guys both gave me the, hey, dude, I recognize you head nod.
Right.
Like, hey, I know who he is.
Yeah.
You know, and I gave him the, hey, I know that's Frankie Valli. Boom, head goes up. The head nod.
Uh-huh.
And they gave me the, well, yeah, we've seen you do games before, like that. All the head nod. So there was a mutual head nod. We just said, I know you, you know me, and we're guys, so we're not going to discuss it any further. So that went down. It went down.
So did he sit next to you, or?
No, I was in, I actually had a window seat.
Okay.
And he had an aisle seat. I was in three, he was in two.
Did you like, even though you didn't talk to him, did he like start to hum, like, you know?
Yeah, I did.
Grace is the word, is the word,
that
is
you.
The
word. It's got groove, it's got meaning.
Do you sit back and go,
big girl, go, girl.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Just to see if he might like what goes.
I just, you know what? I Googled some of his songs and put them up on YouTube. And I'm like, oh, how'd this phone come on? It's December 63. What the hell's going on? Anybody know how to shut this off? It was awesome, though.
Some Is It Just Me's rolling in. Good start. Everyone's in a good mood. Is it just me, or did John Elway make a deal with one of the big families? Fangio? Donatelle? Scangarello?
Ooh. Gonna make them an offer. They can't refuse. I know the last time you ran an offense, it was at Wagner. But you're gonna be my offensive coordinator.
Then you're gonna make me some pasta fazula.
Is that something?
I don't know.
It sounded like a dish.
You know, just
right?
Like horse babies. Who knows? I mean.
Well, we're off to a good
start. We're off to a great, really good start. Really good
start.
Hard hitting stuff. I got one here for you. Okay. This is mine. So as we take yours on the RamosLaw.com. Is it just me or, are the Rockies interested in fielding a competitive team next year? So let me see if I get this straight. Gone. DJ LeMahieu. Mm. Adam Ottavino. Carlos Gonzalez. Geraldo Parra, all gone. Their contracts ran out.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel Murphy, a longtime second baseman who's here to play first. What exactly is happening here? You'd think that it'd be all about forward momentum and building on what they've done the last couple of years, and let's go out, let's really contend with the Dodgers, let's try to win the division for the first time. We were there for most of the year last year, got to win a playoff series. It just seems like they're almost just kind of...
Let's see what our young guys got.
Yeah.
It does, doesn't it? It does feel that way. Although I think free agency has been kind of slow anyhow, right?
It has been.
But you're right.
But the Yankees are making moves. They're taking all our ex-Rock. Think about it. Tulo, DJ LeMahieu, Adam Ottavino. All Yankees.
Hmm. You're right.
Yeah. That's why I said it.
The man in the mom jeans is correct.
It's a good reason to say it, I guess. I just hadn't thought about it. I'm just saying, good point. Yeah, they haven't. I mean, Daniel Murphy.
That's it.
He's a nice player.
Yeah, nice player, but...
He's not Michael Martin Murphy, who is in town this weekend. Did you see that tweet?
No. Is that the guy that's the wildfire guy?
Yes.
He's in town this weekend?
He's in town this weekend. I'm sure those tickets are going like wildfire, Mike.
Gonna be here till 9. Tip your waiters.
It does feel that way. Thank you. Busted. Oh my gosh.
This all came about from the for those 6 a.m. listeners who missed out on it. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Devin White. I think it's Devin White, the linebacker out of LSU.
Yeah, he rides horses.
He's
on campus.
Horses at the LSU campus, and one of them's named Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, wouldn't that be cool if he was a Bronco? He could ride out on the field with Thunder.
Thunder.
And then what happens if Thunder and Daisy had a baby?
Mm-hmm. Horse baby.
And what would we name it?
Yeah.
Somebody said, of course, it has to be Wildfire.
Right.
So that led
he
to
busted
that.
Down the stall.
Busted down
blizzard,
the stall.
In a blizzard. He was lost. Man. Yeah, I mean, you just don't get lyrics like that anymore.
You don't get lyrics like that anymore.
Uh-uh. You don't.
All right, we are off. We are rolling. Here's my quick answer, by the way, to the Ottavino thing. I guess it's because they feel, look, we threw all this money at Davis. We threw all this money at Shaw. We threw all this money at McGee. We threw all this money at Dunn. There's only so much we can spend on the bullpen.
Right.
As important as the bullpen is, there's only so much we can spend. And at some point, the guys we paid... They have to be given a chance to live, you know, earn their money.
Yeah, but if you're not going to pay Ottavino and you're not, then why not keep LeMahieu? Why not keep he's a gold glove second baseman who hits close to 300. Like, why not keep that? If the going rate's 2 years, $24 million, you kidding me? And I understand you got a bunch of young guys that you drafted high. This Rogers kid was drafted, 10th overall? And, the young kid's gonna get a chance to see if they can play.
Should we just bump back with Frankie Valli songs all morning long?
I think so.
That'd be awesome.
No.
Yeah, stuff. Yes.
Get some Frankie Valli.
Come on, yeah, man. Baby. Timeless.
People love.
Come timeless.
On. December 63. If you're driving around December 63 comes on, you're going to listen. You're not changing the channel.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how old
come
you
on.
Are.
Come on. Let's give those millennials a little credit. Not much. A little. All right. Coming up. He did it again. The guy does not learn. He did it again. Tell you who and what next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.
This is not Frankie Valli.
But
it's not bad.
You can never go wrong with the Beastie Boys.
Brass Monkey. He did it again yesterday. And thank you on this Is It Just Me Friday for somebody coming to my defense and saying, is it just me or why does DMAC continue to misrepresent you, Evans?
Mm.
The guy is so delusional. I'm starting to think like, you know those kids who had like imaginary friends?
Yes.
I'm starting to think he had one and he may still have him, you know?
Right.
And that imaginary friend is constantly like, you know, in his ear telling him things and, you know, pumping right. him up or whatever. I don't know. What do you think D-Mac's imaginary friend's name is?
I think it's probably the little guy. Remember the little Martian guy on Flintstones that stood on your shoulder?
Yes.
Right? What was that little dude's name? That's what he's got. Speaking of D-Mac, there's a dude that works at Fox that I'm going to take a picture with because he looks like he could be like the older version of D-Mac. Kind of got the same pear-shaped body and,
Gazoo.
The great Gazoo.
So I'm just going to go with Gazoo because that was probably his imaginary friend when he was a kid. He watched the Flintstones and, he didn't have a lot of friends. And so he created a friend, imaginary friend, Gazoo. And I think Gazoo is kind of, pops in every once in a while over the years, whenever he's at a low point. And, ever since he, came out and, pumped up the Hall of Fame 5. That's what I now call him, the Hall of Fame 5.
I like that.
You like that?
It's like the Jackson 5.
Yeah, Mayfield,
you
Darnold.
You could just call him with Jackson in there. You could call him the Jackson 5.
I could, but I'd rather go Hall of Fame 5 because he says, they're all going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Every one of them.
So he came out yesterday and said, hey, props to Mike Evans. He and Mark Schlereth finally seeing the light of what I've been telling you, that the Broncos have to take their quarterback in the first round in the top 10, that Evans is saying take Drew Locke at number 10. And I'm like, I'm driving along yesterday hearing this. I'm like, you son of a, what did I, we were even running a promo for it. A promo. And you hear our promos in which I specifically lay out, this is not what I would do. This is what I expect John Elway to do.
Right.
Not done swinging for the fences, shaking those trees,
mm-hmm.
3 years left on his contract.
Right.
Not interested in rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
Wants to be able to find the guy after going 0-3.
Right.
And I believe he will take Drew Locke at number 10.
Mm.
Not what I would do, but oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Our man D-Mac, fueled on by Gazoo.
Basically,
misrepresenting again.
Gazoo
is probably in his ear. Hey, did you hear it? Mike's on your side now.
Right.
Mike's come around to your side. You were right all along.
Right. Mike agreed with you. You're a genius.
And D-Mac's like, oh, Gazoo. Thank you, Gazoo.
I wonder if he's got a little pet name for Gazoo. Like Goozy. Oh, Goozy.
Anyway. So, enough with the misrepresenting. All right?
Right.
Enough. Enough. Yeah.
You're still sold out 100% on khaki pants.
And you are too.
Oh.
You've endorsed the khaki pants for this year.
Listen. you look at the issues in depth and talent, especially on this, well, on both sides of the ball, but especially on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, I think you have to go Khaki. You got to, I mean, this has got to be a Jim Harbaugh draft. Just straight khaki pants all the time.
Yeah. Do you have a specific guy in mind?
On my khaki pants?
Yeah.
Greer.
Yeah.
I've seen him play a couple times. I kind of like, he kind of has that I give zero poops attitude when he plays.
Millennial Ben, I'm sorry. I hate to do this to you. Can you go find, when we had Joel Klatt on the other day, he talked about, for him, what's becoming most important when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks. Because what do we all start to talk about? We talk about big arm.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about mobility.
Right.
We talk about size, you know, mm-hmm. all that stuff. But what he had to say, and we'll get it for you, if not this segment, but basically what he had to say was, it's not about arm strength. It's about quarterbacks understanding when the ball has to come out, getting the ball out on time, mm-hmm. being able to make anticipatory throws,
right.
throwing to where the receiver is going to be,
right.
not to where he is. Don't be a sight thrower. Don't be somebody that's just throwing right. to the target.
Delivering the ball on time with accuracy is, I believe, what he was talking about when he talked about the quarterbacks. And frankly, you just need... You need to have, you know, adequate NFL arm talent. But you don't have to have the biggest arm. You just have to have, you've got to have arm enough, you know, to get the ball from one hash to the opposite sideline. Like, you've got to have that kind of arm. But the bottom line to me is, it's so much more about anticipating throws. You know, Tom Brady right now, literally at 41 years old, and so does Drew Brees at 40, throws the ball with more velocity than they did in their 20s. And the reason is because of their work with Tom House, the legendary pitching coach, but Tom House, who works with all the quarterbacks, and it's creating energy in the football based on your legs, you know, your foot energy, which becomes transferable. It's a hip turn, that generates velocity, almost this torque, you know, this, you know, almost like a golf swing pulling a rubber band, you know, and that energy goes from your feet through your hips, through your torso into your arm. And if you're on time and you stay on top of the ball and you do those things, you're going to have, you know, you're going to have great arm health and arm talent for the long haul.
I don't think you were aware of this. I'm going to blow your mind right now.
Really?
And I know where you're going to be tonight. You mentioned how you were flying home last uh-huh. night with
right.
Frankie Valli.
Yes.
He's performing in Denver tonight at the Paramount. Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons are performing tonight.
You would have thought he would have just given me tickets.
Well, you said his handlers recognized you.
We did the mutual head nod thing.
Maybe you just need to show up. Maybe you'll see one of them, and then you just go, hey, sup?
Backstage. Boom.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, if you hang out backstage at a U2 concert, I'm sure you should be able to get backstage at the Paramount for Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Frankie Valli's a pretty big deal.
That's true. Good point. Morning Brew is coming your way next. The Nuggets with a big bounce-back win. I'll tell you why I thought there was an overreaction to what happened the other night with Golden State. That's coming up next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stuff.
Know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet shit.
Let's get it on.
I think it was the response we were all hoping for after a tough loss against Golden State. Yeah, everybody contributed, Vic, so great response. But we have one more game to finish out these first 11 games in 19 days against Cleveland. And if we can get that one and finish 8-3, kind of come up for air and get ready for Utah, that'll be a great, great thing for us.
All right, there he is, Michael Malone. And you're right, good. No Daubers down. No Nugget Daubers down after the loss to Golden State. They bounced back and pounded a bad Chicago Bulls team. I thought, Mark, there was kind of too much of a negative overreaction to the loss to Golden State. Like, oh, wow, you know, Golden State showed us who's boss and, you know, we're not going to be able to beat Golden State. And my reaction is like, have you taken a look at the standings? They have opened up now a four-game lead over the third seed team in the West. They are comfortably in at number two. They're only a half game behind Golden State. But even if you're of the belief they can't overtake Golden State, fine. They're a two seed. And if you're a two seed, you are on track with home court to go to the Western Conference Finals. And okay, if you get to the Western Conference Finals and you ran up against Golden State and lost, somehow that would be a bad thing for a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 5 years going to the Western Conference Finals? Sign me up.
Yeah, I mean, that would be great, Mike. I just don't know. You know, talking to some NBA analysts and some guys who have played in the NBA before, you know, guys I know that do what I do for a living on the NBA side, most of them don't think they're actual real contenders. Most of the guys I talk to are like, hey, this is a nice story. The Nuggets are a good team, but I don't see them as more than the fourth or fifth best team in the West.
Well,
even though they sit here where they are right now.
I think they're going to be seeded number two. They may not be the fourth, but they're going to be seeded number two, I think.
I'm just going to tell you that it's January.
Next on the Morning Group.
Adam Ottavino, Brooklyn Zone, to the New York Yankees. 3 years, $27 million. Ottavino off a little bounce-back season last year. 77-plus innings, 112 strikeouts, has wipeout stuff, misses bats all the time, but going into his age 33 season.
MLB Network with the announcement that Adam Ottavino, leaving the Rockies, who did not make much of a bid to try to keep him, joining the Rockies exodus to the Bronx. I mean, how about this? Tulo, DJ LeMahieu, and Adam Ottavino, now all New York Yankees. Mark, I went into this offseason expecting to lose LeMahieu and Ottavino, but it bugs me because I thought that the deals that they would get would be such that, yeah, I can understand why the Rockies thought it was too rich for their blood. DJ LeMahieu got 2 years. Adam Ottavino, 3 years, $27 million. $9 million a year? What are they paying Shaw? What are they paying McGee?
Man, they've already paid those guys their guaranteed contracts, so they're going to have to make those guys, they're just going to have to make those guys fit.
Is that what it is? It's just, this is all about money, and it's like, hey, look, you know, we've got a certain amount of money allocated to the bullpen, and even though these guys didn't do the job last year, we're still paying them, so...
How much of this?
We're going to keep trotting them out there so they earn their dough.
Yeah, well, how much of this?
And we'll let the guy that produced go.
Well, how much of this is we don't want to spend that money on? We don't want to spend that money on Ottavino or DJ LeMahieu because we know we're going to have a fight to keep Nolan Arenado here. And if we're going to try to make that move, we're saving money elsewhere. But I just get the feeling that Nolan Arenado, if you're trotting out a bunch of young guys and you're not a contender, that he's going to leave anyhow. You know what I'm saying? Like, how much of it comes into, do we really compete for the NL West title? Can we really win it for the first time in 26 years now? Can we get that done? Or are we still a wild card team? Or do we slip out of the playoffs entirely because we're going young right now? And, like, what's the game plan? Is this a money-saving move to try to sign Nolan Arenado to a long-term $300-plus million deal?
Next on the Morning Brew.
I mean, it speaks volumes to this team and, like, how much heart and determination that we have.
Phenomena. I love this.
Well, let that breathe a little bit more.
Phenomena. Turn it
up. AFC Championship game. On Sunday. Man, what's with the weather people in Kansas City? A couple days ago, they were talking about an Arctic blast coming through with a high of 7. It was going to feel like -1 for the entire game. Now it's supposed to be 31 and sunny at kickoff. Anyway.
Oh, you know why?
Why?
Showtime!
Because the Lord loves Tom Brady.
No. I think in this...
I love Tom Brady!
No. I thought the bitterly cold temperatures were going to favor the Patriots.
Old bones.
Because they've played in it.
Old bones.
But now it's going to be warmer. That offense, Kansas City, going to be able to play faster. Showtime. What do you like on Sunday?
Showtime!
I am never, ever, 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 ever again going to bet against my guy Tom Brady.
Patriots,
I'm taking the Patriots.
Patriots haven't won a road playoff game in over a decade.
Yeah, so?
They were 3-5 on the road this year.
Don't care.
They beat the Chiefs earlier this season, barely, in their place.
Mm-hmm.
I love Tom Brady!
Go ahead, keep throwing them
at me. Listen, I'm not one that, you know, says go and get involved in this heavily, but the Chiefs are only a 3-point favorite. That's it. Bet the house on KC. Bet the house. Bet the house. The mortgage, the college fund, bet it all. Chiefs roll.
All right. I don't even know you anymore.
Next on the Morning Brew.
You know, I think it's something we really walked away from that game. I think it helped us to grow. I mean, it was one of those moments where as a team we grew together and really realized how much we all got to be accountable to one another, of needing each other that full 60 minutes. And I think that's one of those things that if we look back on our season, that was a game our team grew.
That's Andrew Whitworth. A tackle that could have been a Bronco, but be that as it may. So the rematch.
We got Bolsey.
The rematch.
We got Bolsey.
Of Saints-Rams. Saints won the first one. Now here comes the rematch in the NFC Championship game again in New Orleans. Who you like?
I'm going with the Saints.
Ooh, interesting. Why?
I think that everybody comes out like a house of fire. The Rams did. They ran the ball exceptionally well. That's where they get their big plays. When they run the ball exceptionally well, that's where all the big plays off the play action, all their, you know, their quick five-step drop game, all their layered route combinations and all that stuff, that's where they really excel. I think with crowd noise and everything else in New Orleans, they're not going to have that opportunity to be the offensive juggernaut they were even last week. So I'm going Saints.
I just think the Rams are a better team. I just think they're a better football team. And I'll go with the Rams. All right. Complete disagreement. So you're picking Patriots Saints in the Super Bowl. I'm going
the old guard.
Chiefs Rams.
New guard. You just trying to kiss up to the millennials.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Matt Hasselbeck, an FOS, friend of Stink, knows a little something about quarterback play, as he talks about all the time for ESPN. He'll join us coming up next. All right, joining us now, he's an FOS, friend of Stink, from their ESPN days. You see him on ESPN breaking it all down. The former NFL quarterback with Seattle, Indianapolis, Green Bay, Tennessee, but he's also the pride of Chestnut Hill, of Boston College Eagle. And that would be Matt Hasselbeck joins us now. Matt, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
We're doing good, Matt. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. Having fun. Championship weekend. There's light at the end of the tunnel here. We've been talking about who's going to win it all for so long. Who's going to get there? You know, explosive offense or explosive defense. I think we're seeing what the answer is, but we're down to four, so it's a great weekend.
It is a great weekend, and here in Denver, there's a lot of change, a lot of things going on. It came down to two candidates. It came down to Vic Fangio. It also came down to Mike Munchak. Mike Munchak ends up not getting the head coaching assignment, but does sign here as the offensive line coach and, I don't know, the grand poobah of offense, I guess, whatever his, you know, official title is going to be as he comes over from Pittsburgh. You played for him in Tennessee, your years there. Tell us a little bit about what we're getting, Mike Munchak.
Well, two good candidates there for a head coach. I mean, to talk about the opportunity to get Vic Fangio and then also Mike Munchak. I mean, obviously opposite sides of the ball and all that. But two good candidates. And I think it says a lot about Mike Munchak that he didn't get the job. He was in the running for the job. Some might even say that he was the favorite for the job. Doesn't get the job and still decides to come out. You know, like, hey, some guy's going to a job interview and like, man, I love it here. I'd love to be a part of this organization. I think you've got a bright future, all this stuff. You know what? You're not our choice for head coach. We'd like you to come on as a position coach. man, screw you, dude. I'm out of here. Like, what was all that stuff you said in your interview? I think Mike Munchak is a really authentic guy, and I think it says a lot to his humility as a Hall of Fame player, as a great coach, his humility to say, you know what, I believe in everything that I said. I actually was telling you the truth, and I believe that this team's got the makings of something special. I like the people. I like whatever it is that he likes about that team. Maybe it's the runner. Maybe it's the guys on defense, whatever it might be. I think it says a lot that he would take the job as a position coach and leave a team that is very, very talented in Pittsburgh.
Busy with ESPN's Matt Hasselbeck. Matt, with all these coaching vacancies seemingly being filled by offensive guys, what do you make of the Broncos going with old school defense? First time head coach Vic Fangio.
Yeah, it's different, right? And I think that's what no one really expected it. You know, you got LaFleur and Kingsbury and Freddie Kitchens and Adam Gase and Bruce Arians is coming back. And then, you know, Cincinnati looks like they're going to hire Taylor from the Rams and redo that Sean McVay thing. And so really just Denver and probably the Miami Dolphins with Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator from the Patriots, they're the only ones going with it. And I'll say this, I've had many different head coaches in my career, and there's no one style that's right. There's no one style that works. You know, it could be like Andy Reid's style is different than Bill Belichick's style. Sean Payton's style is different than Sean McVay's style. It doesn't mean that one is better than the other. I think it has to do a lot with, you know, who's pulling the trigger for you, who's your quarterback, and what's that relationship like with the head coach. And then also, you know, who can that head coach bring with him? Like, who is that staff that he can assemble that gets the most out of your players? And so I think that this is an intriguing move by the Denver Broncos, because any quarterback that's played a little while in the NFL will tell you going up against the Vic Fangio defense is a huge challenge.
You know, Matt, it's interesting. The trend is to go get somebody young, somebody that's brushed up or had a cup of coffee with Sean McVay, because they're going to be the next Sean McVay. And having met with him several times with my work with Fox, I'm just like, I walked out of the room and I thought to myself, I just met with a 32-year-old that made me feel like I've accomplished nothing in my whole life. Like, he is that energetic. He walks into the room. He energizes the room. And I just find it almost comical that people think that you can just go get a young guy that, you know, is, like I said, that has been versed in the Sean McVay quote-unquote offense, and you're going to get the same thing. Is it, you know, is there something to this trend of going and getting young guys? Do you think that works? Do you think they communicate better with younger players? I mean, what is your take on the trend of going and getting some young dude?
My take is that there's very few people that know how to develop a quarterback. No one's trying to. When I came into the NFL in 1998, I was the fourth string quarterback. Four guys. I mean, I was on the practice squad. Mike Holmgren was the head coach. Andy Reid was the quarterback's coach. We had Brett Favre. The backup quarterback was Doug Peterson. Behind him was Rick Meyer, and then me. There was like nothing for me to do at practice. I played scout team tight end in practice and tried to block guys like Reggie White and Santana Dotson. I mean, but it was important to the Green Bay Packers and to Ron Wolf to invest in the position. I would say the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles are the two teams that I see sort of investing, over-investing maybe, in the quarterback position. But on a whole, most teams are just going with two active quarterbacks. So if something happens to their starter, they're out of luck. And then the other thing that happens, if they draft a guy high and they don't have the right coaching staff to help really get the best out of that guy, it's a total failure. Look at Jared Goff. He couldn't get on the field to start his rookie season. Could not get on the field. Couldn't even dress. Wasn't even wearing a helmet on the sidelines. Then, you know, like the murmurs from the media when the fans were too loud. So they, all right, you're going to start. He went 0-7 his rookie year as a starter. And so everyone thought he was a bust. Everyone. And Todd Gurley had a bad year that year. And so from the end of the season in January till the start of September, the feeling was Jared Goff is a bust. And Todd Gurley, maybe he just had a flash-in-the-pan rookie season. Sean McVay got hired for one reason, to fix Goff and to fix Gurley. That's your task. And he did it. And he sees things through the lens of the quarterback and helps the quarterback help his teammates. And what I mean by that is using the cadence as a weapon. That's something offensive linemen appreciate. Some quarterbacks don't do it. Silent count, at home, whatever it is. The defensive end's getting a tee off. Sean McVay, hey, Goff, help
let me help you help your teammates. We're going to run the ball. We're going to be under center. All those things really worked. And I think the best thing I could say about Sean McVay is he's totally comfortable with Wade Phillips, you got the defense. Hey, Fossil, you got the special teams. I don't have a big enough ego that, like, there's only I got to be the king of the castle here. And so that's part of the reason why it's worked so well for them. And I think other teams are like, yeah, yeah, come fix our quarterback. Which one of you guys can fix our quarterback? Is it Arians? Is it Kitchens? Is it Kingsbury? LaFleur? LaFleur, you come fix. I don't care if it's a young guy or an old guy. I think people are understanding there are very few people that can really coach the position well. And so they're trying to find the next guy that reminds them of Sean.
All right, last question. Visit with ESPN's Matt Hasselbeck. Can new Broncos offensive coordinator Rich Gangarello fix Case Keenum?
Listen, Case Keenum can absolutely play football. Last year, not this year, but the year before, Case Keenum played really good football. And I think there's a dynamic of going to a new team when you've never had a big contract, and then all of a sudden you get a big contract. You feel like you got to do like a little bit more than like you've done your whole career. Like, I think Case Keenum has actually played a lot better with this sort of, a little bit like the Philadelphia Eagles did last year, a chip on his shoulder, something to prove, and then just having that relationship like he had with Pat Shurmur and really understanding what each guy is trying to get, play caller to quarterback. I think the Broncos struggled more than I expected them to with that this year. I think it can get fixed. I know this about Mike Munchak. The pass protection is going to be better, and I don't care who you are as a quarterback. If you can step into your throws, you can be a much better quarterback than people think you are.
All right, Matt, we appreciate it, man. Tell Tim that I said you were much better on the radio than him, and he looks a little fat on TV. So just tell him that stuff for me.
You're still a fan favorite in the war room. Whenever you're calling a game, we get the sound of the on the big mark on the snake game, and big fan favorite at ESPN still, Mark.
Well, we appreciate it, Matt. Hey, man, all the best to you. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Sounds good.
All right, there he is, Matt Hasselbeck. Are you? Is some of your awesomeness leaking out right now? Is it getting a little dusty in here?
I'm a little emotional.
Oh, wow.
A little emotional.
Look at you. Wow, I'm... Mm-hmm. Now I'm becoming a little verklempt. All right, well, we need to rebound emotionally here. Mm-hmm. Time for Clear the Air coming up next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.